Now for some really, really good news. Next on Principles and Policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Barry Sheets, the Executive Director of the Institute for Principled Policy. And along with me today is our co-host, the Vice Chairman of the Institute, my fellow analyst and very good friend, Chuck Michaels.
Great to be with you, Barry. Again, glad to be face-to-face in the studio. Solves a lot of technical issues that the engineer here doesn't like to deal with.
Yes, I understand that very, very clearly. But I know that those are sometimes difficult for you, Chuck, because, well, like me, you're a product of the public education system.
That's right.
You're not necessarily taught very strongly how to address challenges and face them and conquer. It's more like avoid, duck, and cover.
Well, you know, Teddy Roosevelt always taught his children to never bypass an obstacle, always to go through it. Oh, no. I learned very early on, it's much easier to go around.
Go around it. Now, or turn around and go the other way.
Actually, going around requires a lot more thought than going through. Sometimes it requires a real Rube Goldberg attempt. And I've actually had people tell me they don't know who that is. I'm in my 50s, and I'm just old enough to have seen copies of Rube Goldberg cartoons. It was an old cartoon that used to run in the newspaper. And Rube Goldberg was a guy who would...
He was an inventor of things that made a simple job very complex.
That's right. He was a British engineer. No, he wasn't really. We always joke, I had a British automobile. I had an MGB. And the joke around there was how the British took a simple idea and made it difficult, especially the wiring. Oh, my gosh. No. But Rube Goldberg would draw these things that had mouse traps and dripping faucets and things that toasters in it. And something would trip the toaster and the toast coming up would flip a switch and it would do this and that and another thing. And a mouse would run after and take cheese off a thing and that would trip another thing. And it would be these like 30 or 40 steps to get a back scratcher to go or something really ridiculous.
They're so much fun to watch, see these illustrations and follow them and figure out all of the back. It was almost like a maze of cogs and wheels and switches and flips. And my kids had a board game one time where, you know, Mousetrap is very similar to that.
Mousetrap.
You ever played Mousetrap? You build all these contraptions and do all this stuff and roll the ball and it goes through this and it clicks something over and knocks something down and rolls some dominoes and that clicks something else and then finally the trap comes down and catches the mouse. That's a Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I'm going to post a cartoon on the front page. We'll post a Rube Goldberg cartoon just so you can see what we mean.
But I believe Rube Goldberg must have been homeschooled.
Had to have been.
Had to have been homeschooled. Well, that means that we may get a lot more Rube Goldbergs in the world, or other engineers, scientists, inventors, creative people, etc., because, well, and you and I are a little biased on this because we're both home
That's
educating
right.
fathers, because new report that's come out this last week is reporting that homeschooling is growing 7 times faster than public school enrollment. That's right. More people are starting to catch on, Chuck. I think we talked about this maybe in one of our classes. Why should people be afraid to homeschool their children? They've been doing it since birth.
That's right.
Who teaches your child to potty train? Who teaches them to eat solid food? Who teaches them their first word? Who teaches them how to sound out in a book? Now, in some instances, it's not. It's some other caretaker because of dysfunctions in that family.
Yeah.
But for the vast majority of citizens, not just in America, but over the world, the first and best teacher of a child is their parents. You're doing it from day one. So why is it when they reach a magic age of 5 or 6 years old, all of a sudden it gets too difficult to do the thing you've been doing and practicing for 5 years?
Well, why is that? I can tell you why that is. It's because we've adopted the Prussian model of education,
where we believe that it takes an expert with degrees in order to impart information and knowledge. Big problem is, if we're only imparting information and knowledge, we are doing a disservice to our kids, because the key thing is, principal thing is wisdom.
Well, and the main idea behind the Prussian education system was to make good worker bees who were obedient to the state. And the fact is, they said, once we separate the wheat from the chaff, we can skim off the cream and send them to specialized training programs.
And that's the Prussian model, yes.
Yes. And you can see that in things like special programs at your local school district.
Oh, how about the governor's school that Bill Clinton was running in Arkansas before he became president?
Exactly. Yeah. And the International Baccalaureate Program, where your children are sent off to be good globalists.
That's right.
Though, folks, I understand you think that that's a great program because it gets your kid into all these credits as they go into college. What you're doing is creating a good UN leader.
Yes.
And that's kind of what we're getting at today with talking about this report on homeschooling.
Yes. Now, this report was in Education News, which is not a homeschool publication. Let me just state that up front for the record.
Not hardly.
Education News is a major news magazine for public education. Now, what they stated that since 1999, so in the last 15 years, inside of 15 years, the number of children who are homeschooled has increased by 75%. As more and more parents are understanding, and I just had a personal story. I went to my chiropractor last week, and we're talking, and his children are in public school. He is absolutely on the edge of his knife, ready to jump off about this public school. He said, all they did was sit around and watch movies. He goes, my son would come home. What'd you do today? Oh, we watched the first 45 minutes of this movie again. He said they watched it 10 times. And it's not, and then it's not a Smithsonian or National Geographic flick. It's basically a feature film entertainment. But the teacher would fire it up and then go do all whatever you want to do while the class sits there for 45 minutes, watching the first 45 minutes of a movie they never finished.
He must be tenured.
Yes, exactly. Because this parent, my doctor said, we went and a bunch of parents went and complained about it, but the superintendent said, it's too difficult to get rid of him.
In my public school experience, I had a biology teacher. This is in 1974, who would be showing slides and blah, blah, blah. And every once in a while, he'd slip a girly picture in there. Some girl wearing in a bikini bottom and pasties.
Oh, boy.
I can remember being...
That was a teaching tool to make sure that he kept your attention.
Believe me, I was awake.
It's not a good teaching tool.
No.
It was a teaching tool.
But I mean, and he was tenured.
Of course.
It would have taken essentially an act of God to get him out of the job.
Yeah, it probably would have. So... What has happening, Chuck, that even though nationally homeschoolers only represent about 4% of the population of K through 12, that's a growing number.
Yes.
75% increase in the last 14 years. Now, that number is growing seven times faster than the number of children enrolling in grades K through 12 annually. In other words, they're leaving in droves, Chuck. That's what we hope to see. And that's the reason why we're optimistic about our future orientation. Things are getting better, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more people who are coming to that fork in the road, and they're taking it, as Casey Stengel used to say.
That's right.
You come to a fork in the road, take it.
Yeah.
And they're taking it. They're pulling their kids from a government system that's designed only to make good little worker bees, and they are doing what God has intended for them to do, which is train up your children in the way they should go. Parents are the first educators of their children and the best educators of their children, and I'll tell you what, Chuck, unless there's mental derangement in the parent of some sort, and I mean legitimately, there's no better person to be teaching their children, okay? Unless the person is just absolutely mentally unhinged, and we know there are some out there.
They're out there.
But the point is, there's more than one parent.
Well, that's true.
There's two parents usually in most circumstances, but even if there's only one parent. My wife and I knew of a situation where a woman, her husband died. They didn't have any resources, but she wanted to homeschool her kids, and they found a way, and providentially, she was able to homeschool her children and survive.
It's done.
It depends on whether or not you're committed to doing it.
Here's the interesting part, Barry, as a seasoned homeschool veteran. In fact, my oldest just graduated from homeschool. So all three of mine have graduated up through high school and graduated from our homeschool here. The last 2 years, my youngest daughter taught herself.
I
mean, we were there to guide, but the fact is we handed her the curriculum and the materials, and she would disappear and come back, and we'd check her homework, and she'd done everything she had to do. She'd read it all, marked it, taken the self-tests, done the whole thing, and in fact, she was very motivated and finished it herself. Now, we had to step in and do things like tutor on certain kinds of science and math, and actually, that was my job. My wife taught the things like English and all the history and that kind of thing, although I was there for that as well. Questions would be asked about finer points of history. I was there to answer those. But I was there when mom would be ripping her hair out and saying, I can see the solution in the solution book. I can't get there. And I would look at the problem and I'd say, oh, here's what you do. You know, and I'd show her. And she goes, how did you learn how to do that? And I said, I got it wrong twice on a test in college. Believe me, by the final, I knew it inside and out.
Inside and out. That's right. Well, but see, that's the whole point, too, Chuck, with this increase in homeschooling, the sevenfold increase. I love it. It's a sevenfold increase, Chuck.
Yes, sevenfold.
It's one of those biblical allusions, I think. But it says that any concern about the question, this is an article from Breitbart.com, so I want to make sure we give accreditation where it's due, by Dr. Susan Berry. Now, Dr. Berry is an education reporter for Breitbart and also has her own background in education. Dr. Berry says that data demonstrates that homeschool students place consistently high on standardized exams. The data demonstrates that those who are independently educated, i.e. homeschooled, generally score between the 65th and 89th percentile, while those in traditional academic settings, read public school systems, average around the 50th percentile. Do you want your kids to be at the 50th percentile or the 89th percentile on a standardized test? I think most parents want that higher level.
Well, that's the reason I brought up the idea that my oldest taught herself. This is exactly what happens in homeschooling. Your child learns how to learn.
Yes.
They don't learn how to learn in the public school setting.
That's right. They are not taught wisdom. They're given
They're
information.
They're taught facts.
They're taught information.
Yeah.
Now, the other point is, Chuck, it also says that the achievement gap between sexes, income levels, and ethnicity, all of which plague public schools around the country, don't exist in homeschooling environments. Now, that isn't because it's all one sex. Boys and girls are all homeschooled.
Right.
It isn't because it's only the rich and the well-to-do, because you and I, neither one, are in that category. Yeah. And we homeschooled our kids. I know a lot of people who are very poor who are homeschooling their children.
Well, we know one family has, what, 9 kids?
Who
homeschool,
at least.
And they're farmers, and they're not exactly rolling in the green.
No, they're not. They're not. But the point is, they homeschool all their children. And ethnicity? Oh, well, come on, Chuck. This is not a whites-only club, homeschooling.
No.
All ethnicities, from Caucasian to African to Indian to Native American.
All you got to do is go to a convention.
Exactly. Go to a homeschool convention. It looks like, you talk about a model UN, that's what it
looks
like.
That's what it looks like, yeah.
But according to the report in Education Week, and this is the reason why I kind of poo-poo this just slightly, Education News, says that, well, you know, recent studies laud homeschoolers' academic success, noting their significantly higher scores on these tests and higher grade point averages as college students. Now, you've got one who's in college right now, or has been. Her grade point average is pretty good, wasn't it?
3.9 something.
Right. Well, just think about all that socialization she missed out on.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like she doesn't have 1,000 friends.
Yeah, exactly. But it says, yet surprisingly, the average expenditure for the education of a homeschooled child per year is $500 to $600, and it can be more depending on how much enrichment you want to do with certain areas, compared to an average expenditure of $10,000 per child per year for public school students. Now, I want to stop them right there. They missed one important data point. I'm paying $500 and $600 on top of the taxes that
That's
I'm paying
exactly
to, the,
right.
to be part of that $10,000 per child.
That's right. That money comes out of your state taxes, it comes out of your property taxes, and in my area, I'm always jealous when we talk about property taxes, because I know what we pay here. Well, let's put it this way, we're approaching $400 a month rent that I pay the school district in order to not educate my children.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't want to talk about this whole idea that, you know, you guys are not being part of the community. Well, that's just nonsense, because we're definitely a part of the community, a major part of the community. But the other big thing is, they talk about, because I brought it up, the whole socialization issue.
Yeah.
That's the one that's thrown out at people who are planning on homeschooling by everybody around them. Well, funny, because the National Home Education Research Institute survey showed that homeschoolers tend to be more socially engaged than their peers and demonstrate, quote, healthy social, psychological, and emotional development and success into adulthood. I think that the socialization genie has been put back in the bottle.
Well, think about it this way. Homeschoolers learn a healthy interaction with people of a different generation.
That's true.
Rather than a sort of a very authoritarian, unless you're running your household with an iron fist, it's generally more of a thing where you're drawing closer to your child because they're asking you legitimate questions and you're answering them in a kind of a one-to-one. They don't get the chance to become as rebellious. They're not encouraged to become as rebellious to their parents and not listen to their parents because they're with their parents. Their parents are leading them down a path that they can see is correct. So a lot of that stuff that comes from quote-unquote socialization, where students are encouraged to rebel against parents and, in fact, are openly encouraged by school administration. Don't tell your parents you're learning this here.
Right.
That kind of thing. That doesn't go on. So there's a healthier relationship between the parents and child and the children and people of an older generation than there is in that quote-unquote socialized environment.
All in all, what we're dealing with is the fact that if you're thinking about homeschool, now that we're out for the summer and you're dissatisfied with public education as a parent or a grandparent, don't be afraid to investigate homeschooling. It's growing. There are more groups out there. There are more people involved. There are more churches that are homeschool friendly. But folks, it's for our children, our next generation, and whether or not they're going to become good little functionaries of the state, or if they're going to become independent-minded, socially well-adjusted, productive adults.
And let's put a plug in for an adjunct group to the Institute for Principled Policy.
Ohioans for Educational Freedom.
Ohioans for Educational Freedom. Check them out. What's their website? I forget.
Ohioans for Educational Freedom.
Freedom.com, I think.
Yes.
Yeah, Ohioans for Educational Freedom.com. We're out of time. Please join us again tomorrow for another Principles and Policies.